I hope I do.
Thank you, Chris, today, November 19. My name is Christian Dallas, and reflected on the wall. I will quickly go through the presentation of the briefing. Chair, I think if you allow me, I will also see some slides.
Which?
In terms of the content of what I'm going to present, I will go through the vision and mission of the city. I will also just quickly highlight the mandate. And if you allow me, Chair, I'll just jump to the item 7, which talks to the challenges of small businesses and cooperatives, which is the key point of discussion today. And then lastly, the strategies that are in place.
Good.
I thought that I want to highlight our vision and mission, so that we also assist the honorable members in terms of understanding the role of the CBT within the built environment. Our vision is an environment to meet people's needs and aspirations, and our vision is implementing projects and programs that address built environment issues and add value to the built environment profession, government, and general public. Okay, I want to highlight that one of the key areas that we are mandated to as the CBT is to lead in terms of facilitating and coordinating transformation initiatives. As the CBT, we are not the implementers of major projects and initiatives within the built environment. But our role then is to make sure that we create those platforms, and we also establish partnerships so that we are able to see the change that we need within the built environment. Chair, if we look at our mandate, it's, I'm not going to go through all of it, but I just want to highlight number 3, which is to promote ongoing human resources development in the built environment. This one I want to highlight because it is so linked to what the Mr. Makabela was discussing in terms of the intent, supporting the intent and the candidate. So at CBE, we are working closely with the Council for the Professional, for Competition Development Professional Council, to ensure that there is upskilling, there is a registration of our, especially of our, the African graduates. So we are doing this based on this mandate of promoting ongoing human resources development within the built environment. I'm going to skip the other slide. On the legislative mandate, which is slide 7, I'm not going to talk about all the legislative mandates that are presented here, but I just want to highlight that the Constitution of the Republic is our core a legislative mandate. And then we have the Council for the Built Environment Act of 2000 and the Act of the 6 Professional Councils that we are overseeing. So our work is also based on those acts. And then we have other acts that are key to our delivery on our mandate. And then, Chair, allow me to quickly go to slide number 9, which just shows how we are structured. We report directly to the Department of Public Works. We also have the 6 professional councils that we oversee. I think when we are discussing issues of legislative, the amendment of our act, some of the areas they talk to how we can strengthen as so that we are able to regulate with the 6 professional councils. So currently there is that challenge in terms of that it is not our enforcement is not well established in our act. So, but we are working closely with the department to ensure that we are reviewing our Built Environment Professional Act. I will, Chair, allow me to jump with our strategic goals, and also we are also showing me the slides, how they are aligned to the national development plan. In all, in total, we have 5 programs which are aligned to our strategy goal. Can I now move to slide 18? So the slide 18 is the core of our discussion today, the challenges of small businesses and cooperatives. I want to highlight that the CBC is not directly involved in working with the small businesses, unlike my colleagues who have been presenting before us. But we cannot shy away. We need to be advocate for change in those small businesses. We need to make sure that those small construction businesses, they receive the attention that is required or that is necessary. But also because we are mandated to lead in transformation, it is important for us to be interested in what is happening in those small businesses and cooperatives. So Chair, I will just go through the areas that some of the small businesses that were engaged with highlighted. Because when we were preparing this, we felt that we don't want to theorize on what is happening on the ground, but we engage with some of the small businesses. And also we discuss with the chambers of businesses so that we are able to really understand the issues that the small businesses are struggling with. So the first one, Chair, is the pricing and costing. The construction companies are always responding to tenders that are advertised, where pricing and costing of a project is a key factor on anticipating before a tender is awarded. So these small businesses are always struggling to cost accordingly, which makes them not favorable to win tenders. Sometimes they undercost, which makes it difficult for them even to finish the work that they might be given. And then number 2 is access to private sector. A common challenge is the over-reliance on government work or tenders, while the private sector's market remains largely untapped. So what is happening here is that our small businesses or cooperatives, they are limited in the manner in which they work. They rely mostly on the tenders, which makes it difficult for them to move further, you know, to start working or to start playing within the private sector environment. Another challenge is competition for skilled and talented labor. You find that although they have these businesses and they have to compete for tenders, but if they don't have skilled professionals, it means it will be difficult for them to play in the environment. So as government, we need to see how we can support them, especially in terms of we're talking about the professionalization of the employees within these small businesses. Because if they don't have professional employees, it means they will fail to gain access to some of the tenants. So it is important for us to take note of these challenges that they have, so that we also focus on them and try and support them in terms of the candidacy program and the intent program that we can do as the CBE. And then another area is accreditation and compliance. There are standards that are set by the government, but sometimes the very small businesses, they find it difficult to maintain those standards. We are not saying, I think my colleague was saying that, we are not saying to the government they must lower down the standards, but it means the owners are upon us to upskill and to make sure that we capacitate those small businesses so that they are able to maintain those standards or to achieve those standards that have been set by the government. Another challenge that they face is payment issues. The public sector has been notoriously identified as a reason for small businesses to have bad cash flow as they do not pay on time. I think if you go, you need to ask, he had the stakeholder engagement And one of the issues that were raised by the small businesses were the issue of payment, that they are not being paid on time. Sometimes they finish their job and it takes them more than 6 months to get paid. So these are some of the issues that are crippling our small businesses and cooperatives. The subcontracting issues, I think my colleagues mentioned this program. They are saying there are very few opportunities for small businesses and co-ops in the provincial government. When this arrives, in most cases, small business and co-ops become subcontractors under main big companies. This results in instability of small businesses, most often the professionals that are within these small businesses. They go back to the government as employees. But at the same time, we want to promote entrepreneurship within this nation. But if we do not support those entrepreneurs, it means we are continually creating the mentality of being employed. So for us to be able to support them, it means we need to make sure that we deal with these challenges, which is one of them, the issue of subcontracting. So the subcontracting, my colleague mentioned this, that sometimes they are not paid in time by these big businesses. So they will be subcontracted, but when the payment time comes, they don't get their fee on time. And some of these small contractors face challenges of exploitation by the main contractors because they do not have the direct communication with the client department. So they rely on the main contractor to hear what the client is saying. So if they don't have that access, then they can take whatever the main contractor is saying to them. Even in terms of payment, if the contractor is saying we're going to be paid, they will believe that. Only to find that perhaps they've been paid, but the money has not come through to them. The setting aside of the project, they believe that if the department or if the government can set aside projects that will focus on supporting the small businesses, the cooperatives, black-owned, women-owned, youth-owned businesses, it can assist them to work and to be sustainable in their businesses. Another issue that they raise is the issue of corruption. They are fighting corruption because they believe that some of the big businesses, they already have contacts within the department, within the government. So it means they cannot compete with those people who already have contacts with the government. But another issue of corruption is the issue of collusion. That the big businesses, they collude in terms, especially when they have to tender for the project. So it means that small players are not able to compete with those businesses. They fail even before they start engaging. Finally, the cash flow. I think I've mentioned this before, but here is the issue of the number of days. That government pays that day after 60 to 90 days, which cripples the operations of the small businesses. Most SMEs or SMEs and cooperatives do not have qualified keepers or finance managers, resulting in poor financial management, thus threatening the existence of their businesses. Most established banks do not assist the small businesses and cooperatives. Although in principle they say they can assist the businesses, but when it comes to the small businesses, because they do not have guarantees, then they are not giving access to business loans. So as a result of that, means they get cut it up in starting some of their projects that they need to do. And the issues of the gratitude, the funds, in some of them, they cited it as a threat to them because even when they have done or they have completed the job, they will, after they have issued an invoice to the client, SARS will then expect them to pay for their revenue. So again, so it means they have to pay even before they are paid by the client, the department. So this is also one of the issues that is crippling the small business and the corporate. And on slide 20, diversity and business growth. Most big companies are sustainable because they have capital and they are easily assisted financially by established brands. In some instances, they are then able to diversify their products, which enable them to cushion challenges by one product at a certain period of time. So the small businesses, if they don't have capital, it means it's difficult for them to even diversify. They have to rely on one project. If that project is taking time to be completed, it means in the meantime they don't have revenue, they don't have income to pay for their employees. And the exposure to business work for skill transfer. We have spoken about the mentorship, that as much as there are programs in place that are set to support the small businesses and cooperatives, but sometimes they feel that it is not enough. They also want to be exposed to the actual work that is done by the big company. So this, it means that we need to be able to match those small businesses with the big companies. Because mentorship sometimes it could be good, but sometimes it could become a theory. So, but if you are allowed into that work space environment, you are able to even learn more than the mentorship that might not be able to expose the small businesses, especially in challenges that are faced by the businesses. So what they require here is that they need more engagement with the well-established businesses. But also those challenges will also help them in terms of accessing the market. Because they can learn more, they can be assisted even on how to access the market. And then the last issue the last challenge is the issue of sustainability. They believe that because they don't have the required support, their businesses are not sustainable. Some of them, they exist for only 1 year. After that year, they are no longer in existence. So we need to set up systems in place to ensure that when they start engaging within the entrepreneurship environment, they become sustainable. Chair, I will quickly now go through the strategies that are in place to counter the challenges. Number one, we have government policies that are in place. We have government systems that are in place to support procurement opportunities for small businesses and cooperatives. But I think my colleagues were talking about the enforcement. But we do have the system that are in place. The Department of Workers is working very hard in terms of enforcing the 30-day payment policy. We have the policy, but to ensure that it is enforced, but also we are leading in terms of paying the service providers within the 30 days. I know that the minister is pushing for this. Each time when we meet the 30-time, these are the areas that the public works officials are being cautioned to pay for and to take experience so that we pay our people within the same period of time frame. And the fourth one is the business chamber. We have started at CBE to engage the business chamber. Why we are doing that is to enable these small businesses to network. We know that sometimes they cannot do it themselves, but they need somebody who can work with them, can support them, so that they are able to number one, to have partnership with the big group, with the big existing business. So we started this program, so we'll be continuing with it in the next, in the coming financial year. And then we have the CIPP contract development program. So we do have those instruments in place. I think for us, just to make sure that we strengthen our work out there, we develop monitoring and evaluation system so that we make sure that whatever that we have in terms of policies, we implement it on the ground. So, Chair, there are areas that still require much of our focus. The first one is to encourage shared services for small businesses, such as financial management, because most of them, they are struggling with their financial management. So somebody needs to assist them to facilitate the establishment of those shared services. The business matching to encourage profit sharing of tenants, this also needs to be done. I've said that the CPE has started to engage the business chamber. The professionalization and upskilling of business owners, we can do this through the professional prior learning initiatives, but we're also working closely with our partners in terms of the candidate program and the intense program, because we believe that we need to capacitate those businesses. We don't have to, we shouldn't undermine them and think that they are here and leave them and marginalize them. We need to focus our energy as well to them. We need to get their profile and see who is there. If they are professionals, we need to fast track the registration of those business owners with the professional council. And another thing is that the South African we need to invest on research and development. Some of these small businesses, they don't know what is out there. So it means we need to help them do research, provide them with the research so that they will understand what the market needs. Because without research, it will be difficult for them to be innovative. So as the CPE and the department and other key role players, we need to make sure that we do this research and we also facilitate the development of the of this emerging contractor and the cooperative. So, Chairperson, in conclusion, small businesses and cooperatives are still struggling to grow their businesses, but there is government support to enable these companies to make meaningful economic contribution to the country. But I think for us, it's to make sure that there is monitoring and evaluation of what we are doing as a government sector. Research is required to assist these businesses to understand economic trends and to access information on the needs of their clients. Business matching needs to be facilitated through the business chamber to assist these businesses to develop their own skills. Payments on small businesses need to be prioritized by clients. Political heads need to monitor how the procurement policies are implemented by the department. And then lastly, we need to strengthen public-private partnerships to ensure that there is skill transfer and collaboration. I think from the side of the CPE, these are the areas that we think we need to focus on, but some of these areas actually we have already started to implement on the ground. Thanks.
Thank you very much, CEO. Thank you very much. We don't want to waste much time because we want to take the variations almost where we have had everybody. Let's hear the CIDB. A lot has been said about yourself and public wealth. So let's hear how you comfort us, give us hope.
Okay. members, thank you very much for the opportunity. And I'm going to start off by presenting some of the sources of information. Much of what the CIED does is evidence-based or fact-based, so we try and quantify many of the issues and then take forward and develop solutions. And I'll go from there briefly. So we were asked to present on the impediments facing SME contractors in the environment. I'd like to first of all just by quantify, and in terms of SME, I'm interpreting that as small and medium enterprises. In terms of the Gulf Construction Sector Code, a medium enterprise would typically be a grade 6 or 5 or 6 contractor, whereas the small would be less than grade 5 or 6. So even in terms of the construction space, a medium contractor is quite a substantial organization. If one looks at the CIED grading criteria, I've put another slide here with similar information on, a small, that should be a medium contractor, would be grade 5 and 6, and a small would be grades 2 to 4. So we're talking of that type of structure and the constraints to those. The information that we're using, some of this information was presented last week at the same meeting. It's presented in a slightly different format here, but many of the conclusions that were presented last week are the same. The sources of information is our interaction with the national and provincial stakeholders. We're going to again talk about our SME business confidence survey, which we undertake quarterly, and we survey all CIED registered contractors, and then we have recently released a report which we finished on how to reduce red tape in construction, and we're looking at what is the impediments to growth in this sector. To repeat the information that was presented last week, but in a slightly different format, we see that the biggest constraint to small and medium contractors, and even large contractors, is insufficient demand for work. That is the major issue facing any contractor and many businesses today. Much has been said about inadequate access to credit. It is a constraint, but we're only seeing in grade 3 and 4, where this is the next difference, we are seeing this becoming increasingly important at the moment, and our results are showing that this is becoming more of a factor in grades 3 and 4. But any number of less than 50 suggests that more contractors, in fact, do have access to credit, and even above 50, you could say more contractors did not have access. But we've seen it as a factor for very small contractors. We grade 5, 6, 7, and 8, what we are getting is not a substantial constraint yet, but we are addressing it in our time plan. Shortage of skilled labour, you're picking up as a constraint to larger contractors. Grade 7 and 8, they're saying shortage of labour is inhibiting them to grow their business. I want to touch briefly on the survey that we just completed, Red Tape and Construction, where we asked contractors, what is, and the consultants for that matter, I'm only talking about the contractors, what is the constraint to growing your business? And we've heard this before and we heard it last week. On the grades 2 to 6 contractors, in fact, and all contractors, but in grades 2 to 6 contractors, almost 30% are saying delay payments is the constraint to the business. Around 22% of contractors in grades 2 to 6 are saying access to work is a problem. Around 10% of contractors is saying access to credit, and corruption in procurement, around 10% of contractors, the small contractors are saying. So that shows, it's consistent with what we heard in all the previous presentations, but that's quantified. 30% in delayed payment issues, 10% access to credit and corruption. Then we ask, if one looks at the legislation, regulation, and administrative practices that are used by government departments, what are having the largest negative impacts? And the one that comes out as the most significant for your smaller contractors is the CIED registration process. Now this talks to the process, not the grading criteria. This is the process, and my colleague Ivan Muller can talk more about this. We recognize this fully, we acknowledge it, and we are addressing issues such as online registration and the rest here. 20% are saying DE codes, but I think that refers more to targeted procurement issues. Health and safety, 20% of contractors surveyed, small contractors are saying it's infrastructure. These are issues which are significant, but what is very clear is that most contractors are not identifying regulation per se as a key issue, but the way it is being implemented as an issue. So just to summarise then, before I go on to some issues, what the CIDB is addressing, again, access to work, access to credit, delay payment, process is key issues here. So you're not saying process there, process. What are we doing? Access to work. Chair, we did present last week that the MTEF is growing at 1.6% nominal. In other words, in real terms, the MTEF is going down by 5 to 7% real. And that is a major impediment, especially for small contractors. They feel lack of access to work is a major issue. That is accompanied by delays in spending. There are many surveys which monitor the delays in spending. We reported last week the under expenditure against budget, and at the municipality level, there is about 15 million rand, which is underspent every year, which will go a long way to providing access to it. So, what is the CIDB strategy? As reported, we are monitoring this extensively. We are interacting with government departments. We are advocating. We do talk at DPW Minimate. But we do support capacity development at the public sector level, but primarily capacity development in support of our prescripts. We are not dealing with capacity for infrastructure delivery per se as National Treasury and NISA's objectives, but we do help and we do partner with them. We're talking there primarily capacity support to meet compliance with our prescripts. Access to credit. I said last week that there'd be something in the government gazette this Friday. I apologize if there was an error on our side, it would be this last one that'll be coming out this Friday. DPW Minmet has already approved a best practice fee of 0.2% on grade 7 to 9. AT, the CIDB board, and this is part of our development strategy in the document and is communicated over many years now. 80% of this will be used for developmental purposes. The CIDB has approved in principle that as this money starts to flow, and we believe it will start to flow towards the end of next year, we are allocating 350 million rand over 5 years to capitalise access to credit. And we are in discussion with CIFA, Small Enterprise Finance Agency. CIFA knows how to manage funding. CIFA knows how to address interest rates, manage risk and all the rest of it, and we're in discussion where we are going to capitalise in 250 million rand over 5 years. This can complement what my colleague has spoken about in terms of the ERP. We expect that to truly increase the rate to provide access to credit for 20,000 contractors over 5 years. Delayed payments, the CIDB aims to introduce regulation providing recourse to contractors who did not receive payment. That regulation could not be issued because of our act did not allow us to regulate in the space. We are currently finalising consultation, hopefully finalising consultation. We have now taken that regulation and turned it into a standard for prompt payment. And it provides remedies for late payment on construction of contracts. It provides for adjudication to address these issues. It prohibits conditional payment provisions in construction contracts and the like. Our challenge is to get government clients and private sector clients to adopt these standards, and I'll make a reference to that just now. 2 weeks ago, we published the CIDB standard for minimum requirements for engaging contracts and subcontractors and construction work contracts. We want government clients to adopt these standards on their projects. This one requires that a written contract exists between the principal and contractor and subcontractor. It requires that payments to subcontractors may not be later than 30 days after the date in which the subcontractor submitted a payment for payment. One cannot provide have clauses such as pay when paid. This standard also provides that the subcontractor, if the subcontractor has submitted an invoice and believes it has not been paid, that subcontractor can write directly to the client, and the client has to say that the principal contractor is paid. We are busy rolling out. In the first quarter of next year, we'll be having one-on-one meetings with all major client departments, with all the major metros, and the like, and we would welcome the opportunity possibly to present. We've now published something like 5 best practice standards. There's another 3 which we publish shortly, and we would possibly like opportunity to present here. This includes the skill standard, which we are advocating that in effect 10% of the labour force must be unemployed in this. In terms of the grading process, we are addressing it, we are monitoring and reporting our turnaround time, we are meeting, by and large, we are meeting our targets on grading requirements. We have initiated contractor satisfaction surveys on completion of grading, and the results are very favourable now. We have initiated and started the development of an online registration system. We are looking at further decentralisation of the registration process so that we get closer to many of the recipients of this, and we're enhancing the capacity in the provincial offices. We are also doing a full review of the entire suite of grading criteria, which will be available shortly as well. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You save us a lot of time, which gives time to the construction department in the public process afterwards to tell us how we respect the constitution of South Africa in terms of reversing the imbalances of the market. So that we're not voting, must be some voting. Or we still enjoy that the apartheid as a basis. So we are now giving opportunity to the department to present their strategies that are in place to counter the challenges that are outlined by the above structures and entities. Over to you, department.
Good afternoon, again. The chair indicated the purpose of the presentation. In terms of the presentation, we'll be looking at various initiatives within the department, which includes the PA initiative, EPWPA supplies, functions, look at the CIP program, and also get from an SEM perspective. In terms of the book of program, it started in terms of public work as one of the key programs we started when we undertook EPWP. The aim of that particular program was to introduce labor intensive contractors. And these labor intensive contractors would then undertake the work and ensure that we would then have more work opportunities because of the application of this is a partnership that was undertaken with the construction sector and with various public bodies. If public bodies such as municipalities or provinces do not partner with public works, we are unable to undertake this particular venture. Similarly, if the construction sector is not partnering in terms of the provision of training funds, it is also not a possibility. As indicated, this program started in 2004. It's been successful, and I think after what we heard this morning about the viable statistics, it's critical to keep in mind that of the 578 contractors that have completed this learnership program, contract development program, 34% of them are still in business post 3 years. And if you look at this in the context of small business statistics, 90% of small businesses collapse within the first 2 years of existence. In fact, I will tell you that we celebrated, I think a year ago, the first woman that was in business for more than 10 years coming from the Wikipedia Contractor Learnership Program. Now, this is not just a learnership. This particular program results in a team being established. So it's the contractor and the supervisor, because we must understand that the business owner must undertake business. We must make decisions on cash flow, pricing, all of these other stuff, registration, taxes, those things. And the supervisor is there to be able to ensure that the technical aspects of this particular company is being addressed. Because that's also part of the reason why small businesses fail. Either they have one or the other in terms of the business or the technical skills. Then also in terms of a further undertaking that we have done is the EPWP Enterprise Mission provides support to the contracting group. And how we provide them the support is the program for Start and Improve Your Own Business. But I'll explain the particular program that we move on. When the contract is exit, they will exit the qualification, either a contractor qualification or the supervisor qualification. Each contractor over 2 years gets three contracts to undertake, at least a minimum of 2 million worth of work. And the three projects is an interplay between classroom training, practical training, classroom training, practical, classroom, and practical. And when we say practical, the contractor does undertake the work themselves. The real project. You're responsible for the project. You take the profit, you take the losses. But while you are doing it, there's a handholding process. And as indicated, this program has been there since 2004. In total, we have more than 570 that have completed this learnership thus far. And we continue to take in with the purpose of just for show that. With a financial factor, what we do is we put out a contract that says, we've got this learnership, okay? Tender and see what comes up in terms of the ratings. What is your credit rating scale? Because we know that very often people might have been blacklisted. So we go into lots of details and look at that says if somebody defaulted on a closing account. No, you're not going to say no to a loan. We want to see, do you refer, do you, ultimately know whether you move. So we look into various details, and there's quite a bit of detail. If you default on a closing account, on a housing, on a bank, and what is it? So we look into those specifics so that we understand who offers the best in terms of financial advice. We look at the coverage. At a certain point when their bank came in, due to a second place, they didn't have coverage in the Northern Cape. And they needed to find a reader for this because we said our contractors will not be traveled and we start utilize their coverage. So there's such types of work that's also being done. And then through this, our companies are able to walk away with the financial track record. Having completed projects successfully and having been repaid any overdrafts or any loans that have been lost. Now, in total, in the system currently, there's a total of 850 learners. Now, each company, as indicated, is made up of a contractor and made up of supervisors. Okay? In total, there are 432 learner contractors currently in training. And if you look at those statistics in terms of female contractors, 195 of the 432 currently are female contractors, and then in total it's 19 public bodies. Now the next slide will give us the breakdown in terms of the public bodies. What does the public body do? As public jobs, we play the coordination function. Our job is to coordinate, go to the construction teacher, ask them to be able to commit funding. Further coordination is coordinating with the banks. Further coordination is going to the public body and saying to them, it is important that you build your contractor base up throughout the country. So you will look, these are the partnerships currently undertaken, Amatoli, Buffalo City. In total, there are four provincial departments, one water board, four metros, 10 district municipalities and locals, in total 19 public bodies. And these public bodies provide the contracts with no government contracts, which relates to civil works, roads, water, sanitation, for those types of projects that the contractors are awarded to the name of the company or the contractor. So this is the details. If we look at the column 5 would then look at the 330 contractors that of this component, and then you then add, and then you look at the 102 in terms of the numbers that they look at to get the issue. Now, in terms of the further initiatives, this program continues because that initiative is a successful program, but it takes quite a bit of negotiation. We have to sit down with the public body to make sure that the contracts that are awarded are suitable, that the contracts are available when required. We cannot afford that you have a stoppage in the program at any point. Once you take in the contract from selection, which is an open position, you put it in newspapers, we go to the public body, to the municipal area, we advertise it, and people undertake various assessment processes. It is a collective between public works and all the stakeholders and the collective other participants. We then let them sign learnership agreements with us and commitments to start the process. We look at the company registration. So there's quite a bit of detail that goes into this. They then go into the training and mention. And then when it comes to the contract awarding, they, as contractors, have to price. Not only about awarding, we need to look at the pricing issue, and then they will get leadership assistance on that. And then go ahead, establish sites, appoint laborers. They have to do everything that a contractor has to do. But the only difference is that there is the support of the National Department of Public Works and also the appointment of the mentors. Now, these are the current negotiations underway. We are looking to sign 10 more agreements that will result in 310 learner contractors / new companies or companies being supported through this program. The next component is the EPWP enterprise function. Now this function is a cost-cutting function, and there's two questions in the department to ask. If we have EPWP participants coming into the program, what happens to them once the participant exits? So a participant can come in and work on the community work program, on the Working for Water program, the NPOs in terms of the non-state, if any program within EPWP. And we know that some of our participants want to start a small business. And so the question is, what do we do and how do we support them as participants? And so the primary purpose is to say exit. It is helping EPWP participants in their desire and their drive to start and operate a small business. Now, in terms of what we typically face with is people go to a place and somebody will say, I want to start the business. And that is nothing else but that statement. We then need to be able to assist with everything at the coordination unit, assist with the registration compliance issues. We also, anything with regard to company registration, central supply data. But at the core, we need to ask the question, are people aware of what it takes to be a small business? And when we start out, we offer the Start and Improve Your Own Business, which is sort of the first slide. It's the acronym FIYB. It's that International Labour Organization program. It's a very simple program. It first starts with generate your business idea and ask somebody, are you tenacious? Are you able to continue and continue even in the face of adversity? A whole lot of questions and ask and self-evaluation. And we can go to any public body at any point. Now, why we train public works officials? We train 27 of them, even myself. I will train. And the reason why I train is I want to see what goes through the minds of our companies. And sometimes you spend a week with companies and you realize they received a contract, but why the cooperative is not moving ahead is because they are fighting. And it's draining the fiscus. So somebody says, I've got a funeral. And then somebody says, I've got school fees. And then you'll say, bring me the financial statements. And then you'll start to realize that it's governance issues. And then you'll say, okay, now I know I'm going to bring this part of the small. development through the government. Right? So sometimes it helps to be a trainer. So we are all trainers as public works officials. And the reason why we went on that partnership with the ILO is an international qualification. You do not require to have high levels of qualifications as participants. You can teach a business principle. In 2 to 3 days, somebody will walk up there and say, I either don't want to be a small business owner, I thought it was great, but it is not. And if you want to continue, then you move on to the next stage, which is start your business. And then when we start your business, it's 5 to 7 days training, and we cover everything from sales to profitability to cash flow. Very exciting. You know, so if you like numbers, it is actually very interesting. Certainly, and get understand the language. And then once the business is operating, now once they don't start your business, we take the business to go out, they do the registration, they set up the business. Then when businesses are at least a year old, or 2 years, we'll say, let's look at your operations. What is happening in terms of your operations? And that particular model is called improve your business. So we look at the operations, what are the systems in place. And key for us is to do business coaching, handover, and get into the small business development. We signed an MOA in April this year with the Department of Small Business Development. And through that, we've seen quite a bit of partnerships. Funding for infrastructure and agriculture, funding for industrial equipment, and now further linking we're doing value chain analysis, which says that in EPWP, people are often thinking they want to give us a participant. We say no, as government organizations participating in EPWP, please tell us where is social development buying the dignity tax that we need. Where is SASA procuring the sports t-shirts and things like that? And another interesting thing that we've done, and people don't recognize this, small businesses, if you tell somebody to start a small business, they're always going to say to you, where's the money? Can you pay me a wage? Because people have four family members and money on to support. So if you tell somebody to start a small business and profitability only starts 3 to 4 months, you know, 6 months into it. A key thing is to be able to ensure that people still have income. So our community work programs where people work 2 days a week has been very helpful because they work for 2 days a week on the community work program and then the 3 days that each of the enterprise development works for the small business. And you'll be able to see them grow their business on the 3 days and still get an income. Okay. We've got 80 small businesses we're currently supporting. In the department currently, Steven and Gordon, the project started in 2009. Of those, we've got cooperatives that have been in existence since 2008 and 9. Steven and Gordon throughout the Eastern Cape have the Department of Justice and the various facilities we look at public works. In terms of public work, there's also various models. We're looking at large contractor development model. There is a subcontracting model in the parliamentary precinct currently, and we're also looking at large project models in the greater area. Then we've got the contractor incubator program. The key program is to address planning grade 3 to 6 to ensure sustainable businesses that are able to compete in the mainstream. The intervention of this will be training, mentorship, finance, access to technology, information, and it seeks to create an enabling environment for sustainable growth of contractors, okay? So as to create experience, track record, and capital growth. The duration of the program, similar to all other programs in public work, is we acknowledge if we want to engage with the participant for a year, it is too little. You have to at least work with the contractor more than 2 years for them to be able to be assisted. And it is within civil engineering, general building, electrical, landscaping, all of those. Contract development in terms of the National Contract Development Program is a deliberate and managed process with the aid of improving rating systems, performance, and quality and specifically corporate ownership. Now the process to date in terms of this is that our accounting officer has approved the strategy and the implementation team. This opportunity if there has been against advertising the government gazette, the presentation has been held, application received, there has been appointment of virtual evaluation committees, and evaluations are underway in the underway for various grades of longitude. And then there's also a submission approved by our National Birth Committee for the second phase, which is targeting grade teachers. Other interventions, the department has received at all centres and both must subscribe to the potential procurement regulations, whereby these are for designated service providers holding some of the stated levels of obligations 1, 2, and 3. And the department supports a panel of service providers in terms of the built environment that are focused on local participation and the advancement of Black-owned societies. A bilateral has also been scheduled between the department, SEM, and also the Black Business Council in terms of the advancement of procurement strategies for commodities, specifically the legislative of the council, and the department is also monitoring payments to SEM to ensure that these are serviced within 30 days. Now, currently, the first challenges are related to small businesses. Difficulties in trying to obtain loans. Very often we know that there's a dependency on government, particularly within the EPWC, to try and encourage local economic development, which is within the local area, beyond government also, and then augment that to government work. Also, the managing of profitability and increasing the growth of labor, which is also a difficulty looking for new opportunities. Then lastly, in terms of the Bokutire program, we do have delays in awarding the training projects because at a time we could see the numbers, it could be awarding 22 million rand contracts or 52 million rand contracts depending on the number of contractors taken in and taken it during the simultaneously. Then also the issue of creditworthiness, despite us having an MOA with a financial service provider continues. Once we've accepted some of the program, we as public will continue to look to make sure that we do get access to finance. We will show you how we solve this now. And then also, it is very difficult sometimes to get people to really buy into the context of enterprise development. It is really a hand-holding process. And so for us, it's always awareness of public bodies to make them realize what is required to support small business and for them to come to the party. So that's a continuous engagement we have. Now, what we've done is now we've been keeping our MOA to public bodies to partner with us in the Book of Media program. We actually want the project list to be included in the MOA upfront. Then the continuous close monitoring and evaluation of the implementation of the Book of Media program is looking at further partnerships, and CIFA is now also coming on board with some of the new public bodies that we will be signing, is to look at funding certain of the contractors of the league, process the contractors of the project. And then also various organizations in terms of enterprise development. And then looking continuously towards new partnerships. This year we partnered with NYDA, NDA in terms of partnerships, the Office of the Premier, some provinces, CEDA, and like I said, the Department of Small Business Development. And then we will continue our training on the start and improve the older business. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Let's see if the delegation has something to add.
Thanks so much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The presentation do not cover everything. There are a lot of areas which we didn't capture, particularly with respect to the area of skills development. The young graduate program, which is extensively taking place in the department, I think my colleague has actually indicated what already we are doing. It's extensive. We may want to have an opportunity to share with the portfolio committee in that regard because it's a very good program. But in closing, my take will be that we realize that we may be doing a lot of things, but in silos, not talking to our stakeholders. Besides that, we find ourselves here listening to them and then having done some things, they're not aware what we're doing. We will want to have sessions with them after this meeting today. It was an eye-opener for us to hear them. I think I agree with them that we are not working with them. We need to tighten up on that one. More so, I realize also that there's a lot that they don't know what we're doing. And there's also a lot that we hear from them which are concerning, which we know that we can even address their concerns. For instance, they are also not aware that we are actually launching the professional academy on the 6th of December, an academy whose purpose it will be to recruit and then nurture, build environment professionals, not only for public works, but for the country. It's one area which is still used, but our stakeholders are not aware. So I think it's a serious gap. Communication, network with them, it's an area which we think we're taking seriously. We're going to work on it and then ensure that we work together. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. So we now get into honorable members. You have all these presentations. You wanted to be the first, or you wanted to give some guidance? The mic, who wants to volunteer, my sister? Please, you are so
I wanted to contribute.
The mic must go to yourself. We will be the first. Let me just take a couple of the hands. We will be the first. Honorable Pete, second. Honorable Sultana, third. Treasurer, the fourth. And Uma Tera will be the fifth. Let's see, let's go with those five hands. One.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks to the leader of the issue, the SNDG of Public Works, and his information. Chair, no, we appreciate the presentation that we have, but we must indicate that it will be difficult for us maybe to thoroughly discuss, you know, what has come out from the presentation because of the limited time. I think it was necessary to bring all of them together, Chair, as we have done. But unfortunately, the time maybe if we are talking now, maybe if we were starting in the morning and then we can go information from the city so that you can interrogate in the presentation. But it's necessary to bring the new one up as we have done. And I want to appreciate that the city is accepting this working in Bali. This is the first thing I want to do. And you know, he knows what I'm going to say. He accepted that no direction in Bali. I must indicate that our understanding with the postal reform is that South Africa works because of public works. Mm-hmm. If public works is not working, South Africa is not working. That is the understanding I have. And we are also having an understanding that this entity, Public Works, achieves its objective through this entity. So if Public Works is not working with them, it means to say that there is no guidance to them. But the presentation that they have given here, I think it corrects the race challenges and how it can be, how can they remake the situation. But with the assistance of public work, you know. So, acting DG to the leader is a package. There are good things and bad things that we inherit. We know that we have just taken over. My concern, Chair, must indicate. My concern is the instability of leadership. especially in public. Because they set up a strategy which is 7 years. And the entities are trying to be in line with the government policy, but they are not being assisted because when you start to work with them, they leave, people are leaving. I want to say that we are in this problem. We raised it in the hotel when they were doing the presentation and they were on it. The FNCT was there. We were having a concern about the vacancies in the property management trading entity. Because it is the unit that is supposed to be overseeing the work of the entities, working with them very closely to take these matters forward. So if now there are those vacancies, because they just resigned, you know, they tried in the strategy are with the department, and the department is far from them. I'm sorry for the SMDG because you know we are actually looking at five, really. Yeah. But it's not, but it has to be specifically as I indicated. So I will request change that maybe, because we can't ask the things that we're within here with this short period of time. To request that next year when we get this presentation, we must be told what the development is done coming from the recommendations of, especially the recommendation of built environment as well as the first presentation by Ms. Mokoke. We want to hear what is happening. Because they are really frustrated, they want to move the youth of, the majority of the youth of the country are unemployed. And if you see this here, even the majority of people that are having a trip, you know, less than a trip, they're going up. You can't really, as a country, go out and say 15% of the majority of this country, you know, are the ones that are in employment. What is that? We are here representing the communities out there. And when we go there, we are saying majority of the people are represented by 15%, and the entire community 13%. And the minority people are represented by higher. We are saying all, you know, proportionality must work on this thing. The majority of the people of this country must be seen, even in any sector of the society, to be the majority. We can't really address it, but maybe we'll discuss it when we have time to change. That's why I don't want to get into the details of asking the question why is this and why is this, because really it's not going to assist us in this short space of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speak. Chairperson, and I agree with that approach and our similar approach. Just with regards to the presentations, I like the way the presentations were done here, because most of them come with problems and they're indicating how to resolve them. So I think that indicates that, yes, they know what the problems are, and I think they need to get the assistance. Except for the first presenter, who said that he's working with, on the one hand, he said he's working with the CIPD, but then in partnership, but on the other hand, he said that they need to talk to the CIPD. So I didn't quite understand. Because it seems as though this UBCB is working in a silo, other than working with the CIPD where they're supposed to be. So I just had a bit of an issue with regards to that statement. And again, I'm going to refer to some of the slides, but obviously not in detail. So I just have one comment on each of the slides, the presentations, if you allow me. If you look at this first slide, what was concerning was that if you look at slides 8, 1, up, 9, 10, that those are the slides that look at what the register figures of black ownership and the one with woman ownership. What is significant there is that the percentages decrease as we go up in the grades. The percentage of, for example, black ownership with regard, and then the percentage of women. So the higher you go up in the percentage grades, in different areas, the lower the percentage of women and blacks, respectively. So that I found was significant there. The second presentation I felt was extremely, initially I felt it was slow and started, but once the presenter got going and he got to the actual nuts and bolts, I felt it was a very good presentation. And I think there's all the support and relating to the portfolio committee supporting the endeavors, because this is what it's all about. And so, really, that's why I agree with my colleague, you need to not just leave the thing on paper. Then if I look at the slide for the presentation about the CBD, again, very good presentation. The presenter knew exactly what the problems are, they have their solutions, but my advice would be that those must be implemented. And particularly, I liked the one which was on, I draw all of the sad faces there because it's a big sad that the situation they find themselves in. But on slide number 24, I like that provide shared services to small businesses such as financial management. And I believe that perhaps you should have some sort of a management consultancy which would share sector, such as. So it must include other services like your HR, your clients, and so on. So I think that is a very good suggestion. This presentation on the whole is a good presentation. So again, I think they need support. The impediments, the third presentation I think about in regards to the CIPB, something that I picked up there was I was thinking about at the beginning of the presentation that we've done about the small businesses that don't get paid on time, and one of the things that had in the back of my mind was that why doesn't the client get paid the small businesses directly? But then I thought that it's probably not permissible because of the contractual agreement between the contractor and the small business. But when I started on slide number 12, the strategy with regard to those delayed payments which I like was second bullet point, I think it is the draft CIP standard for prompt payment and so I'll be interested to see what that is because surely it needs to happen exactly what they said, so I don't believe it happens and small businesses are suffering on a particular basis. And as the presenter said, that the bigger companies can sustain a month or two of payment. Small businesses don't pay it 1 month. And the problem with that is that if you don't pay it on the due date, and the way they operate is that then they have to wait for the next payment day because they get the only 1 payment day that normally is set. And then the last presentation, which is just a question for the presentation is on slide number 12. It indicates a few shows underneath the SMEs the support in the program. Please give an indication of what is the cost of that that support. Minus 1 SMEs, does it cost 1 million, 2 million? So that we get an indication of where they stand for money.
Thank you very much. Honorable President,
thank you very much.
Well, top of my list is the fact that unfortunately it's about the blacks, but it's our leadership. First of all, people can hear of a minister, Honorable Keith, suspending a DG that gets challenged in court by the DG for Home Affairs and is successful, then that tells you that the minister has got all the powers to crack the whip on the administrative staff of the department. But the fact that this was challenged is something else because we don't have all the details of the procedures. So my problem here is that we lack political leadership of the department. And the fact that we have got a new minister, you know, adds to that in the sense that to you, gentlemen, we better to have the minister coming to the portfolio committee so that he can share these things first. So my first point would be directed at the acting DG to ask a specific question. Now that we as the portfolio committee have had everything that's including your very constructive remark, which we highly appreciate, what mechanism is there to make sure that the minister is made aware of all the challenges that are facing those entities after a meeting of this nature check? Because it's all very easy. It is the minister who accounts to us as parliament. The department supports the minister. And that's why I'm starting off from that point. What mechanism is there? And I would love to know about the processes that get take place because it's absolutely useless for us here to express ourselves in any which way if the minister does not get to know about how we feel about these issues. It frustrates our very constitutional mandate to oversee the department when he is not here himself and he doesn't respect the minister. So that's my first concern. Now we're back to a presentation number one, back to business council. Do you think that current legislation, or in fact, how does the current legislation and policy framework fail to assist you, you know, in the discharge of your functions? In some way, towards the end of your presentation, I know you alluded to this, but you were not quite specific as to where you are handicapped. We are well aware of the fact that CIDB have potentially indicated that their legislation needs to be affected, but we don't really affect how you are handicapped. And I don't want to go over here, you know, don't have to go back to the offices knowing that we have informed the portfolio committee that the legislative and policy framework is not sufficient, but you are not being specific. So that when that piece of legislation comes to us, we are able to say, this is the proposed amendments to the Act are insufficient because they fail to address a specific need. You know, it may be that we'll ask them to come and present, you know, when we conduct public hearings, you know, it may be that we don't. But if there's a record showing where exactly you want the legislation, you know, to be improved upon, then we are in a better position. We are the legislators. You need to let us know exactly where the gaps are. So that's why I am. And the second question to you still is, what relationship do you have with the education sector in order to implement the national curriculum? I know that CIDB, as well as CBE, have got their relationship, but you yourself, are you relying on them engaging with the education sector to make sure that what you're complaining about, you know, those gaps are addressed? Or do you yourselves, as practitioners on the ground, have any direct relationship with education institutions, starting with the relevant ministries? Now, what percentage of black contractors are not registered by yourself? Asking this question, Honorable Chair, again, the background, the notion that for so many years, we thought that COSATU had the largest number of workers, you know, who are enrolled, you know, for that. Only to learn when Barbie, you know, raised the data, actually 74% of workers are not registered at all. And that's the target that he's going for. And that's where I'm coming from. Because we could be stretching here only to find that there's something about just a small percentage, tiny, there's a big percentage of people are in the construction sector. And you leave millions behind. I'm not saying you are. But my question is to, it's for me to know what we're talking here, in the context of development. So figures that do not specify what percentage they represent don't mean much to them to die. There's your 19 public bodies and so on, so ever so far. That means nothing to me. But I don't know whether they talk about 190 or whether they talk about 21. You have to tell us that this figure represents a percentage they are able to relate to me. So that's where I'm coming from. And the third question is, why is the department still not to play its effective role in the transformation and development of black industry? What's the specific reason? I know that to an extent you're trying to explain, but I think we need more meat because you are then enabling us as the portfolio committee to be precise where we say the department is failing in this way and that way and that way. But if you think you cover that sufficiently, then you don't. Chair, can we as a committee be favored with a copy of the FFA regulations 2017? I don't quite remember that we have got copies of that because maybe there is quite a lot of stuff in those regulations. It's quite fresh. I don't want to say too much later. But it's all fresh, it's their 2017. So maybe they will help us to understand the environment we operate in much easier. In 2015, I personally suggested that the mega project should be unbound. I remember this perfectly well when we're dealing with the budget for the following year. Now, I would like to know as to whether you have actually implemented that, or if that suggestion fallen through the cracks. What are you doing about that? Because I have really applied my mind. And fortunately for me, this problem is still here at the end of 2017. But I've really applied my mind to the fact that many projects are being awarded to people who are very experienced, and a lot of black contractors are being left out to have to settle for crimes and small change. That's why I want to know if you are considering, and I'm saying this, acting DG, knowing that one of your senior officials has actually said to me on the sideline that you have started implementing such contracts from 1st of April this year. Accordingly, Chair, I want to specifically request or suggest that the department give us copies of all contracts awarded from 1st of April, which are over 50 million. People will know if what we complain about, what you are complaining about here, is being implemented or not. When I look at those building contracts, for one, I will be able to say if it is transformational, it is not transformational. And then we can check with the deal, which they come and present and say, here's a contract for building blah, blah, blah in left hand back. Here's another one for building this in KZN. And then when we look at the contracts, and then our researchers will do some work there, look at them to see if they are transformational, if they reflect unbundling, and all the things that we're looking for. I do not want to go with the narrative anymore. We are running out of time, 2019 is around the corner. We've got just about 3 months away from the election. We want to know if what we have been suggesting here, Chair, is being practiced by the department. Because the revelations of today tell us that a lot of things that we are concerned about the public have just not been put into place. So it's not about bashing the current government, it's about seeing if we as a committee are being listened to. That's why I say just from the 1st of April. All contracts. Then I was just expect to looking to see if they reflect unbundling, if they reflect transformation, and so on. Then we will know. Instead of being told that no, this and that and that and that is happening, that is not happening. We want to see those contracts also.
The contracts. And Mr. Mark Kubera, Public Works is working in isolation from Human Settlements Department. And then the acting DG, agrees that indeed there is hardly any practical working relationship between not Human Settlements, but the Department and some of the entities. Now, this is where Honorable Chair, political leadership has got to play its critical role. Minister must explain to us why he has allowed this kind of situation, to happen. The results are there, they are very happy for our transformation agenda. We appreciate it. This will appreciate the teacher's comment to the fact that he agrees with this, that there is this gap. And I think with the political leadership, it will help us to move forward. And I just want to summarize my comments on this McClellan's presentation. Now, 300 unemployed graduates, 200,000 who can be granted their degrees of qualifications because they cannot be placed anywhere. All I can say is that, this information that you've shared with us, it's quite depressing to say that. And it's clear to everybody in the room that a lot of things need to be done. I don't want to speak out here and analyze the sentence, but if you look at it totally, it tells everybody, that there's a lot that is not being done. CDE. And I suggest, Honorable Chair, that the department begins to think out of the box. I know that there's a political party that has often said that do away with contracting the country. I want to come in, Chair, with absolute modesty but serious concern for what we are watching happening right under our noses. How about considering doing, outsourcing like this? There's a very few points here. 3 to 4 years ago. You know that you want a building, you want to build a high court in Kuruwai. Within the department, I assume that there are people who know how to cost that. Otherwise, your tendering would be open, to a whole lot of speculation. Now, if there are people within the department who are able to cost on an SME basis, based, of course, on reality, that is going to cost, let's say, 10 billion, for argument's sake. Now, why don't you, instead of deciding who must get that job, based you know, on the way they price. You know you want that, you know how much transport. In order to give the black contractors an opportunity, why don't you base your allocation of such a contract on them, showing that they are capable of doing the job, rather than to look to see if they have price correctly. You do the pricing yourself. Well, we've been experimenting since 1994 with this business where somebody else, a consultant, you know, an engineer outside of government will tell you how much it must cost to build, you know, that high quality in worldwide. You price it yourself and then you look at everything. Then you will eliminate, you know, price fixing for starters, but you will know how much should you consider. First, the price is the job. You are one where on the basis of capacity of the company as well as the transformation and integration needs of the country. Then you eliminate this unnecessary problem. Then you bring in factors like localization, rotation as well. Then a lot of people will be able to get work instead of you just applying, you know, quality. And then those experienced companies will be employed there to supervise the work so that they don't miss out on their skills. But then I suggest you create opportunities for maintenance. You remember that there is a painful remark that's been made by the professional that you don't have a basic plan for maintaining government buildings. Basic, just basic check. To say that the high quality will happen, that the, you know, where it's full, that such a place, that should be ongoing work. That goes on and on. It should affect every ward, it should affect every district, it should affect every local municipality. Then when you have got that, you can create work as a department for so many contractors in and around the country, instead of working on a few major, mega projects. Our buildings need to be maintained. We've seen that wherever we go out, the ports need maintenance, the schools need maintenance, and so forth. Just an ongoing, broad-based maintenance. Then you can create and this guy with more than head to take on those 30,000 rent contract, you know, and so on, others with the 300,000. But the country we have well-maintained buildings. I can't imagine the million dollar job that would be created. Just focusing on that, rather than all these big mega projects that we are pursuing to get by the last one check. I'm sorry to time. CIDB, I is constraining factors. You'll find that this constraining factor that we have said, the registration process, pay payment, access to work opportunities, that has nothing to do with nothing. It's your own pay to make sure that this happens. When I say your own pay, I mean the government structure. Sorry, I don't mean exclusively with IDB. And that's something that should be improved upon. It would need to amend the PMSA. So that when people fail to do this thing, then they are painful penalties. Rather than the same time that the Honourable Minister of Finance gave me, you know, last week, what he said, masks could have paid, masks and so forth. What are the direct penalties when people pay other things? Who pays their salary rate after the 50th? Everybody's phone rates on the 50th. If you are in the payroll of government, or 25th if you are a local government, or 20th if you are a teacher, whether you're taught or not. There should be penalties, you know, for that. So my suggestion is that, you know, we should be able to penalize people who pay to register. And last one, the associate contractor to the department, you know, it was nice to hear you telling us that the people have a beautiful story and the orange there for the department, that we were so many associate contractors. We're there for them, but there was not tell us the difference of it. So, definitely, I'm not trying to say that. I'm sorry. I'm going to be very upset about it. You tell us about 19 public votes. I don't know whether that represents 19% or 90% of public votes. Because I don't know, I begin to imagine now. And they talk about transmit, public votes, especially this public votes. We're going to figure out that. And also, I don't know what that means, 19 public votes. I mean, give me nothing. You tell us about the percentage of the associate contractors. We don't know how many exist for how many years. Now, what I know is that 90% of small businesses collapse within 12 to 18 months of their establishment. That's the national average, small businesses. That is a report
that has been exited by the Department of Small Businesses. They call it VEDA. So I want to know, for how long do your businesses last after they've exited? You haven't been specific when it comes to that. And that's why I'm wrong just to say, you haven't told us much to take over. You're just pulling my shoulder over our eyes. You haven't been specific. And I can't buy into that. I'm sorry. And as the people of slide 8 in your presentation, how many independent sales are trying to get jobs? You give 310 people to program to yourself, you give training to 310 people, just got a project or a project to repair that. All those trained graduates are without work, some of them don't even graduate. But you come with a nice job that you're going to train graduates. Isn't this intended to wait for the facts? Or you mean, I didn't forget that the SEBs will tell us about. That what you know, they don't know. What they know, you don't know. Please bring this to the answer. Say the whole purpose of my law, comments, and input is to make sure that we have what is a matter of purpose and their work.
I hate nobody who does not help. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jake. Unfortunately, at the time, I didn't have my say. I'm going to have to leave, but noting that today should be our last meeting as a committee, I'd like to wish with our colleagues a peaceful break. Don't miss me too much while you're away. You can always just drop the gifts at the mask building for Christmas. Chair, but on a serious note, this does mark the end of our year, and our new year will start sometime when we get the next Z list. But hopefully, and this is a big request to the Secretariat, that we can rather find a better venue than here. This microphone system is not ideal. I do know that there are empty meeting rooms on the main precinct today. So I think we need to maybe find a little harder and maybe save a few costs if we can go sit there where we belong, where we call home. So, yes. Then there's also 5 presentations in one day means that we're not actually doing any of these people justice, Jim. This is a lot of information, and I can understand why it was possibly brought together and should be linked, but to do it 5 in one day, we can't engage with it properly, and as a result, we're doing everybody on that side of the room an injustice, because we've not ticked the box to say we've done this, but we haven't really done this. We are not engaging constructively. And I think it would have been a good thing to start off to position who these entities are or organizations are, etc. Let's go to the first one, Black Business Council in the Built Environment, go to the organigram, and it ends with that. I don't know why that fits in with public works. Do they fit in with public works? Do they fall under the Council for the Built Environment? Do they fall directly under the department? I don't see any logos on here. I don't know how they got to be here today. The same goes to the Council for Graduates. I see their own public works logo on the front of the thing, and then a CBE on the inside. But it would be nice to understand the structure, how everyone fits in, and perhaps we can ask the department going forward to give us a full organigram so we can get an understanding of this is the department, these are the entities that came and presented to us during the BRRR, and then these are the sub entities that fall underneath them, like the ones that have presented today. And failing that to at least have had an introductory talk just to indicate the golden thread that's been followed today. Although it seems a little bit more like a bit of a brown tarnished thread. But to get to the actual presentations, and again, I'm not going to go in depth into them. The Black Business Council Built Environment, I think that localization is something that I have tremendous sympathy for, and that's not to do with councillors at all. It's not as a result of the councillors that localization pressures are coming on you. It actually comes from the highest office in the country, and from certain ministers as well who have promised localization. And so the problem there is not your ward councillors, the problem there is directly within the cabinet, where promises have been made that local suppliers will be advantaged. And then there was a strong attack on the CIDP. And I actually, you know, following on the presentation that we had last week, I think two presentations before that as well, the CIDP has specifically stated as a referee. So when you play soccer and the referee goes for a free kick, you can't ask the ref to coach you on how to kick the ball. That's the coach's job. So you've taken a few snipes at the CIDB, and I actually think your snipe should probably be more directed towards the CBD based on their mandates that they have presented in their presentation a little bit later. But again, it points back to what the CIDB has said and what has been said repeatedly here. Dr. Magoka has well pointed out that the department itself needs to find out who it is. I've written a note here. This is an entity suffering from the Department of Public Works identity crisis and lack of strategic direction. We go back to the rewriting of the white papers, we go back to the Deputy Minister telling us the other day that he doesn't know what his knitting is. If you remember, I said, stick to your knitting, he says, we don't know what our knitting is. Okay. So, I think fingers are pointed firmly at the department in terms of making sure that we understand the ultimate goals of the department. There was also a comment about implementing agents being problematic because they seem to be too streamlined and results driven. The issue is that the department needs to deliver both environments to the community or to its user departments so that the government can provide services to the people. The mandate of having a developmental agenda is a secondary mandate that has come in. The department needs to determine how it does that, and that is the department's big challenge going forward. How do we ensure that our people are serviced by government, but through doing that, we empower people going forward? Right, so that deals with the first presentation and a few other big issues as well. The second one, this is Makubela, I think your chair for teaching to pronounce your name properly. Makubela. That will be your challenge for me going forward. Again, I want to echo something from Dr. Fink. Would it be nice to have the who you are and the board of directors a little bit up front, but it would be nice to look at more better direction in terms of it. And that goes back to as well finding out where you really fit in to our picture as a department. I was horrified when I heard that there was a ministerial announcement that there was money promised to you that hasn't been forthcoming, and I think the department needs to follow that through quite strongly. If ministers make statements, certainly the government needs to make sure that we follow through on that. And then I found quite a strong alignment with the Department of Science and Technology, certainly on your innovation mandate. And I picked up a newspaper, the Sunday Times, I had it in my bag coincidentally, and there was an advert there on Sunday. It's a call for nominations of candidates for the National Advisory Council on Innovation. And I thought perhaps that could be a useful entity to partner with and maybe even to try and get representation on that board, because I think that there would be good synergies there. That's the Department of Science and Technology put that advert out, the National Advisory Council on Innovation. So I just wanted to mention that as well. I wasn't reading the newspaper while you were talking. The CBE's presentation, I think what I took out of that, again, there were a lot of issues. Business is hard. And that was effectively what a lot of those slides said. All those challenges, yeah, that's my slide. It's very difficult out there to get the business going. The problem is that government consistently makes it harder by putting in place things like non-payment, by forcing small entities to wait 30 days, no, even longer than 30 days. We should be dealing with these things in 7 days or less, to ensure cash is going to people that really need that push up. So I think message from me was quite strong there, that the government is making business harder. And your comment there about SARS also being very strict, well, we saw that in terms of when we were in the Eastern Cape, we saw that SARS would not issue clearance certificates because people had not paid their tax, but they couldn't pay the tax because the government hadn't paid them. CIDB, I think I've kind of covered it as well. I think we've got a fair smack today from some other guys. But essentially, I think the reality is it's quite clear to us that the department is not managing all of these interrelationships very well. Perhaps you guys sitting through the sat around the table last week before you met for us, and maybe got your self singing from the same hymn sheet a little bit. But yeah, I think there's a lot of scope for additional relationship building and management from the department. The department can go a long way towards ensuring that we are pulling in the same direction, sort of pulling in opposite directions and ending up pointing things at each other. And then the Department of Public Works, yes, Honourable Fulcani gave you a hiding, and I think it's well deserved. The other thing that I wanted to comment on, you know, you present a figure there, and again, it's quite well hidden, but you were talking about how many, the project started in 2004, and since then there's 578 contractors tracked. All that's less than 45 per annum. Okay, so it's not a great track record. But I want to implore you as well, your hips, 44 per annum. So I want to implore you as well, don't focus on metros. Metros have got money. Metros have got these programs in place. So why are you focusing on Joburg Water and Ekurhuleni and similar? These are guys that have got their own projects running already. Okay? If you go into the smaller municipalities, and I understand metros work and metros have got the resources, and sometimes it's easy to go there. Okay? But don't follow the easy route. Find out where you're going to have a real impact. Make a difference in people's lives. Go to some of the smaller municipalities and go, if you take 44 contractors in the whole of Gauteng over the next 5 years, in small areas, in the smaller municipalities, the outlying areas, Midvaal, the West Rand, Randfontein, those ones. Those are the guys that need that help. The guys in the metros, there is lots of work. They've got the potential to cross-pollinate between government work and private sector work. But if you go to the smaller municipalities and the hard work places, those are the guys that really need that boost. And they're the ones that will really benefit. So, yeah, metros, they've got budget. I think Joburg's budget is better than our departments. Thank you, Jay. I'm done. I see you tapping the microphone. Please excuse me, I'm sorry to have my uncle punch and run.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. We are running out of time, and now because of the federal issues. Some of the questions that we asked, I would like to touch a few. Honourable Ryder has said about empowering bigger municipalities, provinces that are able to, and I was just wondering on, I think it's one from the Department of Public Works on slide number 8, where you talk about Mugupile, I think that was the one. Mugupile, you have hundreds of those people from housing and they are 20 from the book, one after. How did you come across that? Because there were so many people in those areas. I'm just giving an example of that. But we were going to look into the different problems. Are we going to make a market between this one or in the other? Maybe what I'm going to say is because some of the things are easy to make and that's why we take it. I won't get much into the documents themselves, because some have been touched and because of time questions. We still have a project, I don't know where to refer this person, came to me, he's a a small contractor. He has done work in two municipalities, and he has not been paid for more than a year, and millions. And these are the things that drive people even to commit suicide. Because people who are hiring, they want to be paid. People who took a material form, they want to be paid, and you are not paid. He's running from pillar to post, going to lawyers. Lawyers also need money to go to him. Where should you refer to that? 300,000 graduates. I've been saying all the time, we are saying we have got vacancies. We have vacancies, we don't have the scarce skills. But we have got 300,000. And I've been saying, this is a graduate year in and year out from this university, from technical, with those skills. What are we doing as a department to try and get these people to be under the conditions that we're having? So indeed, here it is today, shows that the research shows that there are 300,000 graduates who are unemployed, working in private. And again, abandoned. I think that is very good. That's a question. I've been asking myself again, Department of Housing, for example, they'll get one contractor to build 1,000 houses. 1,000 houses. At the end of the day, that doesn't afford to be completed. And yet we've got so many small contractors who can be given 100, 100, 100, 100 from that 1,000 will be empowered in Mukta, they can empower many people, 10 of them say this one, which is very good. I've just touched that again because I think we are already. The issue of intent also, it must be done systematically and make sure that those intents are really being empowered, they are really being capacitated. I've met some in Nepal. They fall under this intense program of water. They just say this particular number of people are intense. But they are not placed anywhere. They are being absorbed to an intent, and you get a stipend every month. But you're not placed anywhere. You must go and find friends yourself. But when you for people who can put you in. And this person will just end this training for the other people to be able to without getting any place where he can be placed. I'm doing this medicine. Indeed, having strategies in place is good, but implementing them is something. We are not implementing. Let's implement things that you say we want to do. If we do that, we'll be able to move family. Thank you, Honorable Chair. We don't have enough.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Like you are noting, we don't have time. Maybe what we can do, we can suggest to our officials and representatives to pick all the comments and forward the responses back to my office in the interest of time. But I must say, from where I sit, the information is power. What you have given, I am very happy about because. You were not really having things. And I was also happy that the acting DG also didn't really defend what is obvious. I think I really like to put that. So, okay, Honorable Reyes has gone now. The reality is that the construction industry, which you are responsible for, as many practitioners, many stakeholders, which are our practitioners. We must see all of them. We have a duty to all of them because they are, whether they are graduates of construction. So we have a relation. So, so it's not a matter that you mustn't have a marriage with the public works. The fact that you are involved in construction, whether by education, or by training. It means we are related somehow, we are practitioners in the same field, so we need to talk. Those practitioners are the stakeholders must talk for the success of the industry. So we have a duty to indeed make that out of South Africa as a developing country. We must make it developing, we develop it enough construction. So there's a lot that we must talk about. The biggest that we are not talking about is to change the lives of ordinary South Africans. So which means that the next presentation must also talk about who are the biggest in terms of money now, who have bigger in terms of construction partners. Because we will fight for the small men against the small men. Don't touch the one who paid the whole cake and fight for 13% leave the 87% to 4 families. This is the politics of South Africa. What is that? The politics of so it's not helpful. It won't last. You cannot sustain it. You can people can ensure what we must fight among ourselves of our bones and allow those that have meat. But they won't have it forever. Now that's the problem. So then you have a duty that you must know who are the richest contractors. And what Peter was saying, is starting from 15 million, that's too small. We start closer to the real issue. What do you do with 15 million when people are talking to yours? Start with 1 million. So you know who are the real countries, who are making South Africa their own. South Africa belongs to all of us. Can't be belonging to few. It was belonging to few some time back. But now, after 1994, we should see that it is moving towards everybody. That's why we train people. These people who are trained must be assisted in terms of exposure inside the engineering company. So the companies that have benefited, whether it's Group 5 or Marlene Roberts, have benefited through our grandfathers, the Sweat. They have a duty to help South Africa, not to degenerate when the profits are taken to Australia and elsewhere. South Africa's money must work here. So public wealth must work. So public wealth must talk about this thing, because how can you hide them? Because South Africa is doing well. You see, so you can see how the big companies are making money, even here. We want to fight the smallest guy. Let's look at the bigger guy. So, and the bigger guy must help South Africa, because South Africa is our country. If we help each other, all of us, it will be a better country. But if we think God will help, and Marlene Roberts and Group 5 won't help, they will take their money elsewhere. We need money, yeah. We need money to these people that must be financed. So I think even fast must be owned. You can't be chasing people with no sense and then don't touch and then understand when they so I think there's a lot that we must do. There's a lot that we must do. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is always our enemy. If we are weak, let all the people wanted to give after the honorable members have spoken. I know my sister, somebody was saying we didn't indicate the percentage on the subject which we have indicated. So the budget, we noted that. So let us do it that way. We really appreciate the information you have given and the friendliness it will have. So I know the department have accepted it. So when we work together, the public work depends to you as well. So stakeholders must look at it, and we as a portfolio committee, we have a duty to listen to you, and then ensure that the minister and the department. I like that my honorable members also don't, you know, spare even the minister. You think of changing people all the time. So I think this is an issue that, because it makes officials now not to be sure what to do. The work is not moving the way it should be, because he is not sure if he's dead. When you can't plan properly. So it's something that I think the department, the portfolio, will attend to it very soon, myself in particular, some occasions, other meetings. So maybe let's agree that we are in the last portfolio meeting for February 2017, so we'll be seeing each other told in January the 30th or so. So we always request honorable members, officials, Christmas will always come. We must avoid doing things as if this is the last Christmas. So, whatever you do, you be responsible. There's another year that is coming. Those that can assist the offense, let's be exemplar. Those that are in government, let's be exemplar. Those who are leader, you can't be a CEO from Queen. Mamungalosa can't be a CEO and we are not a leader. We are all leaders. What we do, let's not set a bad example. This thing of showing off of what we have, let's really take care of the small people who are poor. Let's Christmas them by giving them assistance towards schooling for them here. Zimbabwe may be bad in terms of our eyes, but it's a campaign by those that have money against that country, against the leader of that country. That's the reason. The people in Zimbabwe are able to stand up. They are in fact helping our country. They are engineers, yes. They are certain accountants, yes. They are valuers, yes. So that country has really continued from the country of Malaysia and even from the country of Zimbabwe. It continues empowering their people. They are skilled. You see, so we must support to give our people. Once a person is killed, that person can never be marginalized. It's only Nika that can kill a person. Let's avoid Nika in this dilemma. That is all of us. Avoid, where possible, avoid Nika. Postpone drinking. So it's really not helping. In particular, those of us who are black and those of us who are allies. Taking too much. Reduce it, because we want to we cannot expect God to do everything for us.
Yeah. He has given us everything.
So we must do the need of work, and then He will then help us. Let's meet again next year. Do enjoy. And if there's no other time, we spend on education. Keep education. Lunch is next door. Thank you very much.